ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 23.
Sa satakat satat ki chakabai valmikat
Saha ojo balanvitaha
Sarvabhayava sampanno
Vajrasanghanano yuva
Uttitastaptahemabho
Vipavasur ivaidhasaha. As soon as he was sprinkled with the water from Lord Brahma's water pot, Hiranyakashipu arose, endowed with a full body, with limbs so strong that they could bear the striking of a thunderbolt. With physical strength and a bodily luster resembling molten gold, he emerged from the anthill, a completely young man, just as fire springs from fuel wood. Purport. Hiranyakashipu was revitalized, so much so that his body was quite competent to tolerate the striking of thunderbolts. He was now a young man with a strong body and a very beautiful bodily luster, resembling molten gold. This is the rejuvenation that took place because of his severe austerity and penance.
Om Satat Ki Chakaval Mikat Saha Ojo Balandataha Sarva Vayava Sampanno Vajra Sanghanano Yuva Uttitas Taptahema Bho Vibhavasur Ivadhasaha. Hiranyakashipu hasn't even asked for any benedictions yet, but so far he's doing pretty well. He's from being just an overgrown piece of dirt, really, practically speaking, just the remnants of a skeleton overtaken by an anthill in a bamboo grove. Now he's got a young, strong, beautiful body, which of course is essential for those who identify themselves in terms of the bodily conception of life. Saha ojo balanditaha. He has sahas. Sahas means strength, which Srila Prabhupada glosses here as mental strength. And oja. Oja means, again, strength of the senses, virya. And bala, bodily strength. Anvitaha, he has all of these things. And Vajra Sanghanana, his body is as powerful as a thunderbolt. And Taptahema Abha, he's got a beautiful golden complexion. So the girls are going to like him a lot. He has all of everything, especially, this is very good for the Kashipu department. If a man is very strong and powerful and handsome and young and has a body like a thunderbolt, then naturally he's very attractive, particularly to women. Women are not as attracted to divinity students. Powerful young man. So he has that benediction. Great strength. Physical strength, strength of the senses, and his mental strength is also there. So he has great physical good fortune. Great physical good, and yuva, youth, old age. He's been doing penances for, thousands of years. But now he has a young, youthful body. So this is all suitable for sense gratification, which is the materialistic idea of happiness. These are actually sources of misfortune from one point of view. If a man is young and good-looking and head of the cricket team, then he thinks of himself as very great, as being God's gift to women. And he's, as we say in the West, full of himself, which means puffed up, very proud. Because we identify with the body, and if the body is a top-class body, then I'm a top-class person. In that concept, one imagines himself. And he forgets that, or doesn't consider, the shaky position of his happiness. The whole thing is built on the body, and the body can really look good. It can really look young. It can really have power. It can be golden in complexion. You can be just better and better. But it's all very shaky. It's all very shaky. The whole thing can be reversed either by time, over a long time, or by some change of fortune, an accident or what have you. Everything can change. And because the happiness is dependent on the body, as soon as there's some dwindling of the body or some damage to the body is, don't care how many thunderbolts you're as powerful as, the body is still vulnerable. Then he's in distress. He's in calamity. His life is no longer worth living, and so on. So here, of course, this is the beginning. By the mercy of Lord Brahma, Divyena, by his spiritual sprinkling of water, some spiritual water on him, he attained that status. And he'll go on from here to beg benedictions from Brahma by which to firm up his status. He's young, he's powerful, and still he has greater aspirations, the aspiration to be immortal in this body. Everyone has some aspiration to go on living. But in the material context, one wants to live forever in this body. Of course, that also can be reversed. When the body becomes too painful, then one wants to die. Because his aspirations for living happily in this body are frustrated. So then the opposite. I want to die. Just like renunciation as the opposite of enjoyment. I want to enjoy. I want to enjoy more. I want to enjoy still more, still more. And if I'm frustrated in enjoyment, what do I want to enjoy for? This enjoyment is all useless. But then if he gets another opportunity to enjoy, well, it's not so useless after all. Then again he wants to enjoy. But then when again he's frustrated, oh, it's all useless. In this way, bhogatyag, bhogatyag, bhogatyag. So none of this is substantial. The thunderbolt body, the youth, the mental power, the physical power, the sensual sensory power. None of it is actually substantial on the material platform. It's substantial in Krishna. Krishna's body is more powerful, although he doesn't look it. He seems to be a very soft cowherd boy. But when it's time for dealing with Chandra and Mushtika, or with Kubalaya Pida or Kamsa, then he's as powerful as thunderbolts, and that's permanent. It's never reversed by time. It's never deteriorated. It's not built on some benedictions that have loopholes built into them. It's actually substantial. Vastava. It's actually substantial. That's Krishna's position. So his strength, his power, his thinking, his feeling, his willing, they're all perfectly situated in spiritual reality. And the physical benedictions are situated on the platform of concoction. They're concocted from the material energy for some time, and then they're dissolved and gone. Satat kicha kabalmikat saha ojo balanditaha sarva bhayava sampanna, fully restored materially. Materially, his body was fully restored. But that kind of restoration is impermanent. Just like we restore a house, and then after some time, again, it becomes an old, beaten wreck. And then again, it's restored, and again, it's deteriorated, again, restored. So actual restoration means to be restored to our spiritual position. Muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastiti. Real restoration means to be restored to Krishna consciousness, to be restored to our spiritual existence, not this restored to material prosperity or material strength. Vajra sanghanana yuva uttitas taptahema bho. He was interested in gold, so he had a golden complexion. Uttitas taptahema bho. Vibhavasu ibhaitasaha. So as fire comes from wood, his material situation was restored. It was there. And by the expertise, the capability, the power of Lord Brahma, it could be revived. Vibhavasu ribhaitasaha, as fire can be evoked from wood. So our restorative process is this chanting. They have that now, this Kerala, Ayurvedic things. People are all going through restoration. They're being restored. You know, the old broken down bodies are rejuvenated to some extent. But here our rejuvenation is to come to the spiritual platform, come to the Krishna consciousness platform, where youth is the eternal situation, where it's built on reality, where it's not built on the bodily platform of life. All right, some questions? Microphone.
Hari Bol Maharaj. Maharaj, I am right now 45 years old. So I would like to, I'm facing the old age problem. So even you can share with me your realization.
My?
Realization also, because you
my
are...
My realization? Yeah, it's all downhill from there.
So I
45.
What I mean to ask you, Maharaj, is because of the old age now coming up, I am not able to remember many things in my life. My memory is going weaker and weaker. At the same time...
Well, in some ways that's an advantage. A lot of things we'd rather not remember. So given that our power of memory may be weakening, then we have to be selective. I saw some item not so long ago about an actor. I'd forgotten which one, but he was quite a famous actor from previous generation. And one of the things about him was that he never memorized his lines. Hello? Never memorized his lines. You know, they had to have cards or something. He refused to memorize his lines. Then why? He said, I've memorized all the, you know, Macbeth, Othello, Hamlet, all the major plays of Shakespeare, most of the sonnets, all the tragedies and so on. He said, so I have all this valuable stuff in my mind. Why do I want to have this other junk rattling around in there? You know, these crummy grade B Bollywood kind of film scripts. So he refused to memorize his lines. Of course, Shakespeare, from our point of view, is quite a few steps down. But my point is that if we only have so much memory, so much power of memory, then better to use it selectively to remember Krishna and forget about so many other things.
So Maharaj, the second problem that comes because of the old age is because the body doesn't give that type of a support what it was giving before. So we feel that little bit of our enthusiasm in devotional life is going down somewhere.
That a little bit of our?
Enthusiasm in devotional life is going down. So I wanted to know, Maharaj, is that how to check ourselves that our determination in devotional service is maintained or is going up, although the bodily difficulties is coming up. How to check ourselves?
Ahetukiya pratiyata. Devotional service is not limited by the body. The in old age, the enthusiasm for some activities of devotional service may diminish. That is to say, you know, carrying big book bags around, for example, or doing other things that the body is not equipped to do, we may just not have the enthusiasm for it because we don't have the energy or even the capability to do it. But that doesn't mean that our enthusiasm for service to Krishna has to decrease. Just, I'm thinking of our Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu in Vrindavan. He was cooking for the deities, all the offerings, with great enthusiasm. Then when he couldn't do that, due to old age, then he was distributing Charanamrita with great enthusiasm. And then when he couldn't do that, he was in his room stringing little garlands for the for his deities and hearing the classes in kirtan from the temple and chanting japa with great enthusiasm. So the physical capability was changed, but the enthusiasm was still there. Just it was channeled differently according to the bodily construction. Or in devotional service, a young man may be very enthusiastic about his duties in householder life. But as one grows older, the enthusiasm for those activities may diminish. A young man is enthusiastic to get ahead in life, to start a career, to establish things, to raise a family and all of those things. But as he gets older, he doesn't want to work anymore. He doesn't care that, you know, there are other positions higher than the one that he has. He's had it with family raising, and he's ready for something else. So that means the enthusiasm can be transferred from one line of action to another line of action in devotional service. So he's advised to give more attention to bhajan, more attention to tapasya, more attention to hearing and chanting.
So Maharaj, my doubt is how to check ourselves that my enthusiasm is not going down, although my services are getting changed and my age is increasing. How to check myself? We have to go on checking ourselves regularly that my enthusiasm in devotional life is not going down, although my age is increasing. Because we have to check it, otherwise we feel it that everything is going all right.
Well, you can check. Prabhupada said just like a person knows when he's eaten, you don't have to get a certificate, this man has eaten. You know. So you can also feel how you're enthusiastic or how you're lacking enthusiasm that you'll experience. And if you somehow can't read the gauge properly, then some of your friends may say, hey, what's happening to you? You know, you don't seem so enthusiastic these days. Or they'll say, wow, where'd you get all that enthusiasm from, depending on, you know, which way we're going. It's not a very difficult thing to see whether we have enthusiasm, whether we don't. Seeing it is not so hard. Then the thing is, whichever way it's going, how to increase it. If it's weak, how to strengthen it. If it's strong, how to make it still stronger. Is that all right? Something else? Soma Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class, and thank you for your concern for my comfort. But I was, when I first joined in Boston, I used to wear this gray coat that was like a gray plaid that you said Srila Prabhupada gave to you.
Yeah.
I was just like wondering how you actually got that coat.
Good question. I don't remember. It was given to me. I'm trying to remember who gave it to me. It wasn't given to me by Prabhupada. One of his assistants, maybe, gave it to me. Then I gave it to Santosh. I think he begged it off me. I think when the press moved to Los Angeles, then somebody persuaded me that I didn't know what would I do with a big heavy coat. You should give it to me. So I did.
Prabhupada wore that for many years, right?
Yeah. Quite some time. Hmm. Something else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for your lecture. Madam Maharaj, many times when we are practicing devotional service, we try to implement whatever we have heard, whatever different principles we have heard, we try to apply that. And the focus on the principles, application of the principles becomes so much that the prayer part goes at the background, or many times it is neglected.
Prayer is a principle also.
But whatever involves our efforts, that is always gets more emphasis, and the other part, the prayer part, often goes.
Prayer is also our effort, isn't it? The rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness are not just mechanical sequences of action. That's not actually the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. It's not just, three drops this way, three drops that way, and then move your hand this way and then do this. That's not actually the regulative principle. The main regulative principle is always to remember Krishna. What is that? Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam najati chit. Sarva vidhi nishedasyur etyur eva kinkar. All the other principles, the prohibitions and positive injunctions, are all servants of these two principles. Always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. And think of Krishna means with devotion, with love. That's the essence of the principles. I would think about it in relation to things like the way Srila Prabhupada worshipped the deity. It was actually quite a bit simpler than the way that our deity worship is done now. So one may look at it from two points of view. One may say, well, it wasn't very developed, it wasn't very evolved. Or one may look at it from the other point of view and say it was really on a high platform. Because in the neophyte platform, it's all, so many mantras and so many mudras and so many this and that. And on the very advanced platform, it's really about devotional feeling and sentiment. So I'm not disparaging the principles for worshipping the deity, but the essential thing is your feeling. That's the essential thing. So when we speak about the principles of devotional service, or being trained in devotional service, or learning the science of devotional service, it's two things. It's service and it's devotion. So if it's just service and the devotional spirit is missing, then we're missing something. We're not getting what we should be getting. So prayer is matters, or attentive chanting matters. It's not just ticking off the rounds with another bead. That's not exactly it. That's also part of it. Not that we don't pull them up and it's, well, 4 or 8, what's the difference? But once we've got that going, then we focus on the real business, which is how to chant with some feeling for Krishna, with some attention to Krishna. Is that okay? Yes.
Uh, Thank you, Maharaj, for your nice class. Like you mentioned, there is so much propaganda on physical features in this world.
So much which?
So much emphasis on body and these things. So many times we find devotee students in their colleges and workplace, they are very much disturbed by this lusty things of their peers and also things going on. So how we can guide them?
Well, the less they have to do with that, the better. The lusty activities of their peers and so on are disturbing, are mundane, are distracting from the real business of life, are unwanted. So that's that realization is good. Now what to do with it? Therefore, we don't really want to associate with those people. And the more we can substitute their association with good association, better off we are. And how we do that, there are different ways. By actual physical association with devotees, or by the internet, or by books, or one way or another. Therefore, we see generally that people who are spiritually, who make spiritual advancement, usually cut themselves off to a great, to a large extent from society, from social affairs. In any religious tradition or any spiritual tradition, typically you find that the people who start making the progress are the people who shut themselves off or who distance themselves, who lock themselves up in their rooms and so on. Not the people who are partying and looking for newer and newer crazy things to do in the material world. So that's natural. Yes. Okay, wherever the microphone is, whoever's closest to it and wants to use it.
I wanted to ask, how do you develop patience toward anything?
How to develop patience toward anything? Patiently. We sometimes become impatient, so then we have to again remind ourselves that no, I have to be patient and renew our efforts in that regard. And by coming to the mode of goodness, one becomes patient. Passion is full of impatience. You know, I've had enough of this. That's passion. And the result of passion is trouble. But in person, in the mode of goodness, one naturally becomes patient. He can wait. Doesn't have to happen now. It can happen later. That's, of course, for Krishna's service, that's different. Not that everything for Krishna can wait. Well, that's called mode of ignorance. But for my sense gratification, or for my material interests, things take time. We can wait. Or even practical things. Everything doesn't have to be now. I want it yesterday. It has to happen now. Patience. It naturally grows when we're in the mode of goodness. Therefore, we're advised to come to that platform. So again, by chanting, by hearing, by cultivation, and by molding our life in such a way that it's conducive to that mode. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, some other question? There's a hand and there's a microphone, but they're in two different places.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, as you said that a beautiful body and all those material qualifications, they really don't matter. And it's a fact, spiritually, all that matters is devotion and things like that. But on the other hand, because we are in the preaching movement, and people who are having strength, bodily beauty, luster, and name, fame, prestige, and power, they can be very much useful for the movement. And generally, it's good to get these people into the movement so that they can preach. So many times what happens is that we do it ourselves, we preach to these people, and at the same time we see senior devotees, sannyasis and various other people, you know, giving a lot of respect for them because they are very proud and things like that. Now we know the essence that actually all these things really don't matter. All that matters is devotion. But day in and day out when we are engaged in preaching activities, when we see the glory being given to them and the respect and, you know, the special attention, facilities for preaching and everything going into, you know, developing the high class people and trying to get them into the movement, because we are not so advanced, we tend to get affected and, you know, what our values change, and we tend to think that really, I mean...
One has to be a little careful, therefore. One... Even at one point, Prabhupada wrote a letter to Shamsundar Prabhu and mentioned in the letter that he should be a little careful about his association with George Harrison. Although he did so much service, Prabhupada said, after all, he is a moneyed man. So that means that when you have money, then that tendency is there to be materially absorbed. And therefore, one should be careful. Otherwise... One is very interested in materially capable people, materially rich people, materially successful people. And the result is that one develops a desire to become one of those people. And then one's Krishna consciousness is shot, finished. So one has to be a little cautious. It's not that the beautiful people, the rich people, they're the ones who are the best people. Vyasadeva was ugly. He was totally ugly. And he didn't have any money either. And we're all reading his books. So, but yes, when we meet with wealthy people, or sometimes we may flatter them. That's because they're unfortunate. And it's more difficult for them to hear things straight. So sometimes we have to tell them how wonderful they are, how great they are. Prabodhananda Saraswati has that verse. Someone knows that verse? That I'm offering you obeisances and flattering you and saying all these things. Hey, sadhava, you're a very saintly person. Please give up all your nonsense and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's our purpose. That we'll say, you're really a good student, or you're really a good this, or you're really a good that, or you're really a successful businessman, or you're really an important person, you're really a that. And our goal is to tell them, now give up all your nonsense and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But one has to be careful. One has to be careful. Careful means that we need to maintain our spiritual strength and not be enchanted by the glitter of the material energy. And not to think that we simply want rich people. But we want sincere people. They may be rich, they may be poor. Rich is welcome. Their wealth can be used in Krishna's service. But poor is welcome also. Their humility can be used in Krishna's service. Something else? We're at 9 o'clock, so this is when we stop, isn't it? Yeah? All right. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.